When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time to dominate the sports books on Moneyline. Your best live odds on the MLB postseason.
On the seventh pitch, Harper hits one in the air, left center field, back it goes. Harper, the swing of his life.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Plus all the NFL and college football action you need before opening kickoff.
And steps into it, passes, caught! Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished.
With your host, Donnie Wrightside.
Last year, Kevin, in the National League, which is where you're looking at, you know who ended up in the NLCS? Yeah, the 5 and the 6.
And Kevin Walsh.
That is one of the most remarkable performances in a negative fashion that we've ever seen.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Live on a Monday, injuries all over the place, horrendous losses by the NFC leaders, and away we go into a doubleheader in Major League Baseball. The American League Championship Series this afternoon, the National League Championship Series a little bit later tonight. An hour, look, 3 hours barely can cover this stuff. We're going to try our best, Kevin, over the next hour, right here on Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, welcome to the program.
As you would say, the block is hot. The block is hot. There's a lot going on out here in these streets, and we're going to do our best to try and catch you up and let you know what's coming along.
We had Dr. David Chow on Sunday, as we do each Sunday on Pro Football Today. We had him on this morning, and it's one of those where it's like, hey, man, let's see if we can find some injuries to talk about. They're just flowing all across the board, particularly the quarterback position. I mean, did anybody come out unscathed yesterday? My goodness. You know, Lawrence gets injured late in the game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Worst case scenario for him is, yeah, they play Thursday night. So he's got that three-game win streak that looks so good. You don't want to blow that momentum this Thursday night. You take a look across the board, Deshaun Watson, he doesn't even show up to his games, yet they beat the 49ers, which is as wild as it can be. Daniel Jones doesn't play, and they actually look like a competent football team and should have beaten the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. By the way, let's start there. Buffalo escaped. 15, yes. 16-point, you know, favorite in that game. The Philadelphia Eagles were 7-point favorites here. 14-3 lead and looked like they never played football before. The San Francisco 49ers jump out, I believe, to a double-digit lead and get melted by P.J. Walker. What happened yesterday in the NFL?
Man, there are so many great questions there. I think the easiest way, though, to answer it is playing down to your competition. And I think you saw that specifically last night in the Buffalo game. Look, I know I've done this a couple of times this season, and it's probably a bit annoying for people, crying over lost totals that, you know, people will tell you never had a chance in terms of, like, last night's over. But, Donnie, Buffalo, when they were pressed for it, moved the football with absolute ease against what's an awful, awful defense, a terrible New York Giants defense. The Bills, the Giants moved the football last night. Whenever they approached it with tempo and just let Tyrod move around a little bit in the pocket, find guys, and pound the rock if they had to, with Saquon Barkley. But both of those teams played at this snail's pace, and it leaves you open. And the Eagles last night were left open. They've usually been able to close the door. The thing that stood out, though, is just a lot of bad coaching. You know, Sirianni, look, it's tough, though, DRS, because you let Jalen throw in that instance, right? Josh Allen was allowed to throw in the same exact spot last night. And Josh Allen had a man, underthrew it. I think Knox could have caught it. You never expect Jalen Hurts, though, to throw a pick in that spot. I can't crush Sirianni there. I just can't.
I crush him for this, Kevin, because when I was watching, me and my pops watching it, and I said, I know how this plays out. The Eagles are probably just going to play, you know, I used a, you know, a slang term just to be safe here on what the type of football the Eagles were going to be, you know, playing here down the stretch. I said that. They're going to hand the ball three straight times, punt it to the Jets and say, okay, let 75 yards, 80 yards, or actually technically it was, you know, 80 yards from a touchdown, but 50 yards or so for a field goal. I don't like what I'm seeing here because first snap, handoff into the line, 1 yard. Second snap, handoff into the line, 1 yard. And I kept telling my dad, I'm like, look, they have to score here. They have to score here. Excuse me. Convert a first down. Forget about the clock. It doesn't worry about it. And I said, there's no way. Like, it's almost opposite, Kevin. Run. It didn't work twice. So now the defense goes like, well, we're not even going to play a run defense now, 3rd and 9. We'll sit back and play in our zone, and we hope you throw a pass because we'll keep you in front of us. And if it's an incomplete pass, stops the clock. If it's a, you know, tackle inbound, so be it. We're going to stop you short unless you make an unbelievable play call and a wide receiver like A.J. Brown makes a play. Never in my wildest dreams I think he would throw an interception because in that instance when you're a quarterback, number one, you know the other team doesn't have any timeouts. So if the pocket gets a little bit collapsed, you go, oh, you know what? I'm not throwing this away. I'm just going to hang on the pocket. Oh, here comes the sack. I'll take it. No big deal. Play clock starts running. We punch you down. It's like, hey, it just didn't work out in our favor. So, because also keep in mind, Kevin, the Eagles weren't at the 50-yard, or excuse me, aren't at their own 20. They're right around midfield. You take a sack, you can still punt it into the back of the end zone at that point. What an awful throw. Like, if it was one where it's like, oh, come on, Devontae. You dropped another pass. You tipped it up, and it got intercepted. I can't believe it. No idea what he was looking at on that play.
I think what you saw there was a team probably looking ahead a little bit, right? And got up 14-3 and said, man, can't wait for next week's game. Kelly Green's, you know, Miami Dolphins, Sunday Night Football. A lack of focus, unquestionably. Now, if that game, for me, honestly, is the sacrificial lamb to make sure that this team shows up with their A-plus effort against Miami, I'll live with it, to be honest. Beating Miami is more important than beating the New York Jets for this team's psyche, for this team's evaluation, and that's coming as an Eagles fan.
Yes, 14-3, Meadowlands. You know, first of all, by the way, I credit the Eagles defense and also credit the Jets defense. They were very good in that game. But the Eagles defense didn't even, the fact of getting give up a touchdown lost that game. Because why? You turned it over 4 times and the Jets turned it over 0 times. That's how you lose a football game.
100% true. 100% true. But the thing is, you know, that I almost want to say the Bills played worse than the Eagles and the Niners yesterday, it felt like. But how do you crush them on a day where those, you know, the Eagles and the Niners put those results up? It's like, you know what, you won the game. Yes. You know, give you some credit. And I think the worst coaching performance I saw yesterday in terms of those close games, I mean, Brian Daboll was a disaster. No two ways around it. You know, I said, well, you know, give Saquon his redemption, run the football on that 1 yard line, and you know, ironically enough, it was actually Suss who replied back, like, go watch the play again. There's 6 guys in the backfield. Respectfully, there's a difference between pass blocking and run blocking. Every guy on that line stood up at the snap and let their guy basically in the backfield, knowing that they were largely irrelevant to the football play. It was a one-man route to Darren Waller. If they run the ball there, you know, read option Saquon Barkley, but again, that wasn't even the worst call. And it wasn't, you know, Tyrod Taylor's audible to a run, which I didn't mind, by the way. They should be able to run the ball, not get it, and still get on the clock and get another snap off there. It was a lack of focus from the Giants. That field goal inside the 15-yard line against the Buffalo Bills on 4th and inches, when you just pounded the rock to get all the way up there, pathetic, loser move, deserve to lose. Giants are bad.
By the way, it's not 1985 anymore with Bill Parcells as your, you know, play caller there. You go for it on 4th down every field goals lose football games. And that's what they do. If you have it in your advantage to go for it, you absolutely go for it. And by the way, Brock Bowers, surgery out for the year for Georgia. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Monday afternoon. As I did tell you guys, you know, Brock Bowers, number one Georgia Bulldogs, taking extreme, their best overall player down for the count. And I guess you could say, well, if he rehabbed and, you know, did like a Terrell Owens back in 2004 to break your ankle and weeks later appear at the Super Bowl because you had to sign waivers, and if you hurt your ankle anymore, you're never getting paid again. This guy's got a bright future. Tight ends make a lot of money in the NFL. You can't get upset if he's like, hey, you know what? Just going to call this quits right now and get ready for the draft at that point. It stinks because he's such a good player on such a good football team, but injuries happen in football, Kevin, and that's a big... We talk about the NFL with these quarterbacks, so it doesn't look like a lot of them out for the year, but it looks like Brock Bowers out for the year.
Yeah, look, it's a blow, unquestionably. We know he's a mega talent, I think, for Brock Bowers. I think even... Look, Georgia fans, I think, could even say, look, man, two-time national champion, he's accomplished all, he's given this program his all, you got to make sure you're okay for the draft. This is a kid that people thought could be picked inside the top 10, and for a tight end, that's pretty incredible, because you don't usually see that with tight ends be the projection, right? Kyle Pitts set the record for highest draft position for a tight end a couple of years ago, and we know how important the position can be when you have yourselves a great one like the Kansas City Chiefs do in Travis Kelce. For Georgia, though, it's interesting, Donnie, because the way college football is, you know, usually a guy goes down, it's not that hard to get someone to step up here, right? I mean, that's just usually the MO, right? Quarterback's different. It's still at college. Like, you need to have the right guy playing quarterback for you, but... Georgia loses their tight end, and we have national title odds dropping. Is that the idea?
Yes. It's got to be the idea. That guy's the go-getter for that team. Gets it started, popping. Still a really good football team, obviously, but that's a devastating injury. I mean, outside of your quarterback going down, for them, it's probably their tight end.
And look, their odds have shifted back a bit, not a ton. But the fascinating thing overall is, you know, with this Georgia team, again, like, they play Vanderbilt, and they did not look that good. And you can say, oh, come on, they won by 40. No. The spread was 32. Like, they hardly crossed the spread in terms of their own point score. Like, they didn't get close by meeting expectations. They've had one game this year where they flipped it on and smashed Kentucky. But this Georgia pass, Donnie, of, look, all they need to do is play once every 6 weeks and they're the best team in the world, I don't really think that applies.
Yeah, no, we'll see it play out. I mean, some interesting doings there. Obviously, Saturday, fantastic football game between Oregon and Washington lived up. Very rarely those games live up to the hype and then surpass it. That was a lot of fun to watch. USC was terrible against, you know, Notre Dame. We'll see how they rebound against Utah this weekend. Miami got flatlined in the second half against Carolina. So Carolina looks like they might be the only challenger to Florida State. Because why? Louisville laid an absolute egg against a horrendous Pitt team on the road, losing by double digits. But college football, you are going to get those surprises. You are going to get those upsets as well. Any big games this week? Oh, Alabama plays Tennessee. Who's the other big games this week?
Ohio State, Penn State.
There you go. So, Ohio State, Penn State. Penn State, by the way, is going to beat Ohio State. How about that?
I see it. I don't know where I land just yet on the game. It's a 4.5-point line. The Big Ten is in my crosshairs right now. I'm really bothered by the conference, Donnie. It's an awful, awful conference with three good teams. And Ohio State or Penn State, the winner, right? It's like, oh, wow, this might be the best. That's what we'll hear. Wow, is this the best team in college football? And the loser will be like, oh, yeah, but look who they lost to. They don't. You don't play anyone other than one another. It's an absolute clown show, that conference right now. You know, Wisconsin and Iowa, like, it's a joke.
You used to get, like, the, you know, there's usually waves in conferences, right? You have the big boys, then you have the guys that could put up a fight, and then you have, like, the teams you just beat down. It just seems like it's three teams in the Big Ten, and everybody else is just a straight beat-down opponent, which every time, it's not fair to Michigan. Like, the kids aren't picking the schedule or how it fares or how it falls. But I keep asking this question, like, if you are a Michigan fan, right, Did your football season even start yet? Are you enjoying every Saturday playing like JV teams? And then you got to say, well, we basically have one game. And I look at even like 10-1 to win the Heisman for JJ McCarthy. And this morning on the early line, I'm like, it should be 1,000-1. He hasn't played anybody. Like, anybody could do that, I feel. Which I know isn't the case, but I sort of play it up at that point. I'm waiting to see Michigan. I'm waiting to see, like, Ohio State played Notre Dame. Okay, it was a good game, but oh, finally. Like, Penn State is finally going to play somebody for me, it feels like.
Well, but Donnie, think about even this for the JJ McCarthy Heisman stuff and to your idea of are you having fun. Like, JJ doesn't even get to play in these games, really. Like, well, they sit there, they run the ball, they take their time, and by the time it's midway through the third quarter, they put in the backup because the game's over. It's like, they're not, you know what I mean? Like, JJ McCarthy has great efficiency numbers. He's not really in the Heisman race. Look at his statistics. He doesn't belong up there with these Pac-12 quarterbacks, with Dylan Gabriel of Oklahoma. He's not putting up numbers like that.
And also, the funny thing about that, too, is it'll be Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, like in the whatever. I don't even know what the Eastern Division of the Big Ten, I don't know what they call it anymore. It changes so many times. But like the West, like what a horrendous championship game, right? Like they used to be like the Super Bowl used to be throughout the late 90s, the late 80s and early 90s. Like if you won the NFC, it was like, okay, it's just a coronation game. We'll go out there and smoke the AFC. That's what that feels like there. Like is Iowa going to get all geeked up to be in that game and say, hey, look at that. Iowa slowed the game down, and it was only 24-7 they got beat by Ohio State. I mean, come on, enough with it.
Yeah, look, Wisconsin, I thought would have themselves a nice season. Quarterback injury, you know, ruins that game and maybe ruins their season. But it still is not like Wisconsin was looking up to the level, right? Think about other teams that have typically been in the mix before. Michigan State, right? They are a complete disaster. People, look at this Maryland team. Yeah, okay, they got beat by 20, and Ohio State didn't even play well in the game. Cut it out. And then they just lost outright at home to Illinois. Maryland's terrible. Who are we supposed to respect in that conference? Nobody. And yet they're going to try and send two teams into the championship game? Come on. Stop.
There you go. That's the Big Ten in a nutshell. Back to the NFL. By the way, my Sunday started off very nice with Ravens Titans. Was able to hit a same game parlay in that, got a couple $100 in the account. The rest of it didn't go all that well. But I could have been salvaged, Kevin, at night. The Buffalo Bills. I needed and or a touchdown from Stephon Diggs and or a touchdown from Davis, and I would have been fine. A touchdown by both of them would have been like party time.
Right.
Got none of them there. I'm hearing like touchdowns of guys I never even heard of at this point. Oh, first catch of his life, and backup tight end scores a touchdown. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me here. And that was me going to bed around halftime to wake up to see, like, you know, what the numbers were. I was like, I'm going to go to bed here. Somebody's going to score sooner or later. Never did there. Bill still won, but my day didn't look overall that impressive unless you looked at eliminator pick. Rams down 9-3 going, I deserve it. I was supposed to have the Chiefs this week. I got silky and I messed it up, but they pulled away and won. And it looks like now we're doing that fade train there for Arizona. Like this week, Seattle, one of those teams, fair by a touchdown, Arizona. Take them. Let's go. Party.
That is going to be the interesting thing for Survivor. Is the preseason plan of fit pick against Arizona every week now just the plan once again, right? You know, I felt pretty smart too when I was telling you guys on the show. I was like, at the minimum, right? Let's get a cover here for this. You know, for Arizona plus the 7. I'm like, all right, they're going to be right there, and the game just kind of fell apart, right? And now they look. You know, horrendous. No other way to put it. That's just the Cardinals.
Yeah, the second half was terrible. Like in my mind, I was going like, man, what a great bet that is. Plus 7 Arizona. Like you knew they would battle. Like what's my problem here? They like controlling the Rams, and then you look up, and I think one of those statistics that really had me laugh was like, hey, Stafford's got a $124 passing. Yeah, Cup's got 114. I was like, what?
Let me tell you something, man. You were on it week one because you were like, I don't need to see anything. He's fine. I'm betting it.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, well, they didn't. You were right, Donnie, but they didn't move anything anywhere near 85 and a half. They didn't move anything anywhere near enough for that guy. Time to put his numbers right back to 96 and a half and let people decide 98 and a half because he is the same as ever, Cooper Kupp, best receiver in football.
That's why I actually forgot because I saw you had him too. I had him for an anytime touchdown, and they threw it in. I'm like, ooh, Kupp got a touchdown. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I actually had Kupp for a touchdown today.
Round
so,
Robin.
Yes. Round robins. I mean, if you're not betting round robins out there, people, you can put a couple hundred bucks down on a Sunday and literally be in every single game watching and cheering. It's phenomenal. You don't even have to win all your games, people, to cash in tickets. Now, I didn't, and I lost money, but still was able to cash out some money, where if it was a parlay, I wasn't cashing out anything at that point here. Come on back. We got Monday Night Football and two Major League Baseball games to get to today. It's Moneyline on a Monday right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here. Yeah. 2 to 3. It's what we do here, Moneyline. Sports Grid Network, Donnie and Kevin. Looks like Mike Garofolo reports, source on this earlier, said, don't be surprised if Lane Johnson is back real soon. Good news for the Eagles on this one for sure. Maybe missing maybe a week or two, but I know he in the past had some real problems with that ankle. Like, it was basically, what he used to tell the story was like collapsing from within, and finally got that thing, you know, sutured up in surgery one off season a couple seasons ago. So that's what the worry was, it looks like. But it looks like back sooner than later, so I guess that's a good thing, because everybody knows, I guess, you know, outside of Jalen Hurts, it's Lane Johnson that pushes the Eagles through on offense, which is pretty incredible. And you saw it if you watched the Jets game. The Jets' pressure was unrelenting right when he went out of the football game. And, you know, one key cog on that line breaks a lot of things down. Let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. It's Monday, and you are talking to Donnie and Kevin. And you know who it is? It's the Moose. He's on deck. Let's go.
I tell you what, gentlemen, as always, it's one of the highlights of my day talking to the both of you guys. So I thought it was an interesting start when San Fran boys kind of got in the faces of the Browns on the sidelines,
pushing and shoving.
And that kind of got them fired up. And I thought the other nice thing that happened, too, was San Fran going off to an early 7, well, I guess it was 10-0 lead. And it was just, it was that defense of the Browns. I tell you what, they are nasty. It is, it's going to be interesting to see. And let me just throw this out there. I got a lot of good pointers from you guys this morning when you were talking with Ben. I'm really looking forward to the games tonight. I do think it's going to go over 50 in the hook. I did take the Pollard and the CeeDee Lamb prop bets. I'm looking forward to that. And then, as always, with some Mr. Irrelevant news, Mount Union Raiders played Wilmington Caps this weekend, 76-0. 76-0. So, but they'll be interesting, Mr. Irrelevant coming through with some of that info. And I'll let you go because I got some rigatoni and some stuffed shells I'm throwing in the oven. Guys, take care. Have a great day. And thank you for taking.
That's nice. Stuffed shells. I'm a big fan of stuffed shells, KW. You like stuffed shells?
100%.
Nice little rigot in the middle. I mean, tremendous.
Delicious. Yeah.
Tremendous. Hey, by the way, Moose brought up a good point here, which I forgot about. Watching the fight between the 49ers and the Cleveland Browns. Like, Debo uses his helmet against a player. Not swinging it, but basically, like, he was playing football and gave a nice headbutt. Okay, it's in the madness here. I feel like Trent Williams is in so many fights and never gets in trouble for anything, which includes in NFL games throwing punches. Like, oh, we couldn't even see that. We didn't even know if it was a closed fist or not. He runs full speed and knocks a guy off the screen. Off the screen. And it's like, this is a little scrum before the game.
Yeah. It's very. And I think he picked up an injury as well in that game, right? Like the Niners.
Yes. Got close to an ankle sprain, I think.
A lot more in that game than just a loss on the spreadsheet there, right? That was a damaging game for them health wise, big time.
Yeah, it was. Let's get to the phone lines again.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, it's going to. Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's do it. 844-843-6879. Jordan from Phoenix calling in here. Tough scene, because I would have loved it, Jordan, if your Niners had lost and my Eagles had won, or should I say our Eagles had won, but both sitting in the outhouse today. What's up, Jordan?
What's going on, fellas? It's glad to give you a call. It seems when the Niners lose, the Eagles want to lose, so we are on head for a collision course. I think we'll have the same records, but I'm with you. Debo Samuel, but K-Dub, I just heard you say the injuries. We are a little banged up, but I just heard a report saying, like, week to week. So hopefully McCaffrey and Debo will be all right. And then I had a pretty good weekend, though. I took the Lions and I had the Rams. I took the Rams, actually, when they were losing to Arizona. So I got some nice money on that. And then, again, my cousin, I told you I went to the Cowboys-Niners game. He's actually flown out to where you guys are in Philly. He's going to the Diamondbacks-Philly game tonight. So that's going to be pretty cool for him. And then you guys know the drill. Best show on the grid. Thanks for taking my phone call, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a good one, fellas.
There you go. All right, check it in. A little Niners action right there.
Yeah. So that allows me then to what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Look, the Brock Purdy MVP stuff, right? Nobody's here trying to tell you that if you had the pick of any quarterback in the world, you'd pick Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
But why is Brock Purdy not allowed to have himself a bad game against the best defense in the league? And again, led them in. Like if the guy makes the field goal, then what? Is he back to MVP favorite?
No.
I don't understand. No, stop it.
Look, if Purdy went down and McCaffrey was healthy, I mean, we might look at a 3-touchdown win for the Niners in that game.
No, my goodness.
It's the way I saw it. Just the way I saw it at that point.
Well, can they get Tyreek Hill the MVP, or are they really going to have to give it a two?
You know, you're not allowed to, outside of a quarterback, you're not allowed to win that award, let alone a wide receiver. Like, well, who got him the football, Kevin?
Yeah.
It's almost like it's going to take a Tua injury for 3 or 4 weeks, and Tyreek's still to blaze for those wins. Like, oh, it always was Tyreek. Like, the common denominator between the Chiefs going ballistic and also the Miami Dolphins is one player. It's Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying the Chiefs can't be ballistic, but my goodness. Look, I still get back to this point. Andy Reid and the Chiefs going like, hey, we just can't pay you that money, Tyreek. Like, unbelievable. How did he escape? How did he escape? Kansas City's beyond me.
I still can't believe that those, like, it's one of those things, like, you mean to tell me that Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Mahomes all played for Andy Reid? How's that possible? Like, there's no way they allowed all those guys in the same room. That can't be. Like, what do they, win the Super Bowl every year? Almost. Like, they were in it every year, basically. Just incredible.
Uncoverable. Uncoverable is that guy. Like, if you give Tua a couple seconds in the pocket, like, we watched the Philadelphia Eagles closely, and A.J. Brown's a very good wide receiver, ridiculously good. I don't know what the heck was going on yesterday with the Heisman, you know, award winner, Devontae Smith. But when you just watch, like, Tyreek Hill, it's his level of fast and change direction, like, at his size, it shouldn't be legal in the NFL. Like, eventually, like, I'm just going to get a good shot on that guy and knock him out. Or, oh, look at this. Tyreek misses so many games because he's always injured. And it never happens. He's just out there running by every single person and wide open every play. Like, when Tua drops back a 5-step and launches a deep, like, oh, Tyreek's got to be 8 yards behind that DB. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, look, he is unguardable. I think he is the best receiver in football. I know. I mean, Justin, it's one of those things, like, there are so many elite guys. Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, probably being the front three that you'd bring up. But if you could have Tyreek changes everything when you can get that guy into your building.
By the way, yesterday on the show, Derek Carr, yes, the better quarterback than C.J. Stroud. Any comments?
Yeah, any guy. That's, you know what? That's good of you to bring that up. that is pretty good of you to bring that up. You know what? It's funny is you actually took a really smart answer of today he'll be the better quarterback. So
yes,
you know what I mean?
Is what it was? That's how I won. I was like, he'll throw for more yards today.
So yeah,
let's go with that route.
But let me ask you this, because look, I'm not really concerned about the Saints too much. You know, I was a preseason believer in this Houston Texans team.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on the Houston Texans? A fluky 3-3, or do you think this team's got some juice?
They have juice, but I don't know if that juice is like, let's make a run at the division or the playoffs. The sample size isn't there for me to overturn what I thought coming into the season through just 6 games, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I like CJ Stroud a lot. Like, he throws a beautiful football. You got to be a wide receiver loving that. Like, I can run any route in this field, and he could put it right on a dime wherever I want it. That's fantastic stuff. But I just don't like the level of talent. Like, Nico Collins is playing well, and, you know, a handful of running backs, let's just say. But CJ Stroud has been the difference maker, and I do have high hopes for that team, but I don't have the juice for, yeah, we'll see them in week 15 as, you know, win and get in or something like that, or week 16 at that point.
Yeah, I mean, look, I am expecting that. Their odds are now second best in the division. The Texans priced on it was 10-1 preseason. So if I think that this the only other live team is Jacksonville, right now there's a minus 120 on the Jags out there.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I do think the Saints bounce back on Thursday Night Football. So I think I'm going to wait. And I don't think I'm going to look to grab any Jacksonville yet. I think I have.
Who's
time.
Their backup? Who's Jacksonville's backup quarterback, by the way?
C.J. Beathard. Did I see a C.J. Beathard tweet today? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I don't even know. Did he come in the game yesterday? I'm not even sure.
To be totally honest with you, that game broke my heart so much because your boy Gardner Minshew threw so many picks. I never had a chance on my best bet, Jonathan Taylor. That yeah. I just like couldn't really even keep my eyes on it.
Yeah, it looks like C.J. Beathard is the backup there, which, again, I'm going to get into the backup quarterbacks in a second because I got my eyes pointed at Chicago. But before I do that, let's get to the phone lines, 844-843-6879. The X-Man calling in on a Monday. He's got gifts. Give them out, X-Man.
I got hockey, two baseballs, and Cowboys on the spread, 1.5.
Yeah, let's go.
Going with the Phillies. On the run line, and the Astros on the run line, and the New York Rangers on the puck line.
Oof. What's that? Going against the Rangers and betting the Rangers, K-Dub here. 20. Michael Jordan to 1, Kevin. Exactly what you
want. Wow. All right. Not bad. I love it, man. I love it. I do want your thoughts on the baseball today, by the way, before we get out of here.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that two games because they're really interesting. And again, the edges are like, well, let me fade this pitcher. You're not fading any of these pitchers. Like, these pitchers are good. You're trying to look for the angles on where they might get exposed a little bit or maybe a bullpen help. So I do have some thoughts on that. But just looking at the backup quarterback, and I always, you know, like when you bring up, like Gardner Minshew didn't play all that well. Backup quarterback's not supposed to come in and be like, okay, we're going 8-0 now or 7-0. Supposed to give you a confident performance. Jacksonville got the best of them, so be it. But I couldn't help but like laugh. Like, Justin Fields goes down. It's like, okay, the undrafted rookie's in. You're like, what is going on? Like, that's supposed to be your third and developmental guy in a couple years. You know what I mean? Like, what did you expect? Like, hey, look, by the way, if Fields goes down, we got this kid. We can win games. It's almost like they said, hey, we got to save somewhere. And if Fields goes down, we stink anyway. So why spend any money on a backup? Come on now. Undrafted rookie free agents coming in the football games, ice cold and staying ice cold at that point. We got another big segment coming up, which we will hit Major League Baseball and also turn our sights on the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two Major League Baseball games. By the way, afternoon Major League Baseball action, 4:37 p.m. Don't let it catch you off guard. That's the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. And it's seven games. You can say, like, that's not really a must-win, but really it's a must-win for Houston. You can't lose the first two games on your home turf and then have to go play three in Texas and even hope that you get that series back in your own building, because what that turns into, right? Texas just has to win, quote-unquote, a series at home, which is what you're supposed to do, not even sweep it, and away you go. I don't know if that's going to be the case today, because I did break it down early. And you can't take the matchup and say, well, Eovaldi's really good. Yes, he is. And you say, well, Valdez has really good numbers. I mean, yes, he does. But if you're being honest with yourself, you have to line up the say, okay, how does Houston do, Kevin, against right-handed pitching? How do the Texas Rangers do against left-handed pitching? And I don't care what they did in April, May, June, or July. I really don't. I'm looking at just a 30-day snapshot. And Framber Valdez is a left-handed pitcher. He struggles with left-handed batters. You know who's a really good left-handed batter? Corey Seager. You know who else is pretty good? Evan Carter and Nathaniel Lowe. But having said that, those guys haven't hit left-handed pitching all that well for power. Like today's estimate, and by the way, we probably have their, do we have their official lineup? It's got to be out by now, right? Let me just get a quick update.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have it. Good. So now I can get some eyes on exactly what's going on here. All right. So let's take a look here at the lineup for the Texas Rangers. Almost, it's identical to what we had this morning. ISO power number situations. That's where you want to look in the playoffs. Why? These are really good pitching staffs. So, like, weighted on base percentage, yes, does make some sense. But the true tell of the tale is, are you getting doubles, triples, and home runs? Because you get a walk, you better knock them home with a double. You're not getting a walk, a single, another single behind it. Typically, that's not what happens against good pitching. Out of the lineup today for the Rangers, Semien, fantastic against left-handed pitching over the past month. Josh Jung, good at a 167 ISO and a 407 weighted on base percentage. Let me read you, Kevin, the rest of the players in the lineup for the Rangers today. ISO power numbers we're talking about against lefties last month. Seager, 067. Robbie Grossman, that's a zero. Adolis Garcia, power hitter, right? That's a zero. Mitch Garver, yeah, he's a zero. Jonah Heim, how about this? He's a zero. Nathaniel Lowe, you want to take a guess at what his number is? That is also a zero. I told you about Jung. Leota Taveras hit a home run last night. Hey, Kevin, what's his number? Yeah, that's a zero. You see where I'm going with this? Now, granted, it's not the end-all, be-all, but you're trying to find little slivers that say, you know what? Who's hot against a certain batter or a certain pitcher? That's all fine and good. I'm just talking in generalities. Against left-handed pitching, it hasn't been that great. Now flip it over here. Rangers side. Eovaldi's on the mound. He's been awesome. Just take the name out of it and just leave right-handed pitcher right there, Kevin. First six batters in the lineup today for the Astros against right-handed pitching last 30 days. Weighted on base percentage. Every single one of those first six guys above average. 360, 322, 414, 501, 340, 329. Get it? If we look at power numbers, which is ISO power, Tucker, 318, Alvarez, 510, Abreu, 250 in the middle of that lineup. Of course, with Bregman and Brantley, you know, average numbers there at ISO. It just looks like the Houston lineup stacks up better than the Texas lineup if we just remove the names on the mound. Now, granted, you can't really do it. So, well, hey, this guy's pitching really good, and Eovaldi is doing that. If I'm just being generic today, I think Houston should win it. But yeah, just the Rangers have been smoking hot in the playoffs, man. Smoking hot. It's hard to get in front of that train right now.
They've been awesome. I'm certainly hoping it continues. Let me ask you this. So one thing that I think is almost impossible to bet pre-series can be the championship series or even a World Series, the MVP stuff, right? Because this is where like anything can happen in a sample size, right? Like in the NBA Finals, Donnie, like you, it's going to the, you know, one of the four best players in the series. Like that's just how it is, right? If they had a handout MVP last night, they know they're giving it to Montgomery or Taveras. Well, Montgomery I saw last night was like 16-1 to an MVP. Nobody knows if Montgomery's going to pitch again in this series. Now, that would be impressive for them to sweep. We have no idea if he's going to pitch again. And even if he pitches twice, right, is that going to be enough to get him a World Series or a Championship Series MVP? But Leody Taveras is going to hit each and every day. He's currently 2-for-2 with a home run, a difference-making home run, no questions. And he was 35-1. Taveras doesn't need to bat 500 and hit four home runs in this series. But he now has such an advantage, I feel, Donnie, over every hitter on the Texas side, now the favorites to win the series. Is that a waste of a bet, though, Taveras? Is there any way that he can keep this up for just, you know, three more victories here?
Yeah, it's hard to do it out of the nine hole, right, though? Because, number one, you're not getting the best guys on base, the fast. Because let's just, Heim is in front of them, Lowe and Jung. Not exactly speedsters, right? Which is where you have Adolis Garcia. It's like, man, Simeon gets on, Seager gets on, Grossman gets on. We can move those guys around. And you're not going to get that many at-bats as a nine hole as you were of like 1, 2, 3. But it is, if it is a short series, but you know, you're asking for him, too. It's like, hey, can Taveras catch one like game three? They have two home runs and tied for the team lead there, and maybe hits it in a big moment where the game was tied again or to give them the lead. An interesting one tonight is Carter, who made the play in left field, right? I think he's hitting 369, 389, something like that in the playoff run. He's not even in the lineup tonight because he doesn't match up against Valdez. Isn't that wild? Like one of your better young players that's been on fire sitting out. These are where the chess matches completely come in. But that's what you're asking for Taveras. It's like, I got one, I got lucky. Boy, if I could get one more and get lucky in a five-game series where every game was like 4-2 or 4-3, where nobody ran away with this thing. Like, oh, so you get three home runs in game three. It's like, well, that's up in smoke now.
Yeah, ball game.
So it is. Like, everybody's on the table.
And because the other bit of it, though, is, and maybe this, do you think there is big name bias when it comes to the MVPs of the series? Like, let's just say Taveras ends up hitting for the series, Donnie. Two home runs, bats, you know, 400, right? Which is, it's like, it sounds like a lot, but in a series it isn't, right? But let's say Seager hits, you know, one home run, two doubles, and bats 350. Does it go to Seager, or is it like, no, Tavares is the better player. It's Tavares.
I don't know. Yeah, that's always the tough part about it. It is, because sometimes I just feel like it's like a culmination award. Like, oh, they won, and it was close in some way, and you just give it to Seager because it's, you know, we add to the legacy, so to speak. Same thing with, like, the World Series MVP. Like, the thing about the World Series MVP is when you start talking about that before the playoffs even begin, what are you saying to yourself? Hey, best player all the way through. No, it's not. Like, if the World Series goes four games, it's only those four games that matter. Well, wait a second. Harper had seven home runs before they got there. That's not what the point is. But you think that, you know, that's the MVP. That's not what the finals MVP is like in basketball. Oh, he's been great all the way through. Didn't have a great finals, but boy, he was the reason why they got to the final. Like, no, you don't win the NBA Finals MVP because you weren't that MVP. So I do see where it's coming from here, but it's quite interesting. Like, Harper opened up, I think, like 50-1 to win World Series MVP. Now, obviously, that's way down, because why? The Phillies were a long shot technically to get to the World Series in the seeding they were in, now seemingly the favorite to get to the World Series, so his odds have certainly dropped like a rock there. Philadelphia plays tonight. Zach Gallen on the mound versus Zach Wheeler. 7.5, if that's the total in this game. I do like the under here.
A couple days off. Seven.
Is it? Because we had it 7.5 this morning. Let me see here.
I was looking like
we got seven
an hour and a half ago.
Yes, okay. There's points bet at 7.5, bet 365, 7.5, but everybody else has sevens, juice to the over. So that is a big number because, you know, eight beats you, not seven. Like, we have seven, like six you have to get to win, which is tough. 2-2, you're in like a dogfight at that point here. But I do still think, like, I think Gallen's going to be on, and so do I think with Zach Wheeler. I just think the bats of the Philadelphia Phillies are just generally better than the Diamondbacks. If we line, like, the Phillies weren't better, per se, than the Atlanta Braves. Like, they can go toe-to-toe at every position, but it's not like, the Phillies are, like, forget about the regular season, the Phillies are a better overall team. That's not the case here. I think the Phillies have the better bullpen, the better starting pitching, and also the better hitting here, which is why they're favored in this game as a -164 and a favorite, heavy favorite, technically, for the series here. I do think the Phillies win with Zach Wheeler on the mound tonight, but I think the bats are a little bit behind. Cooler temperature, good pitchers out there. That's the way I would go with it.
Yeah, I'm going to end up betting the over in this game. I don't care. I'll keep losing my money stubbornly on these games if it has to be. But one of the big reasons, look, Donnie, the Phillies have played 12 games at home over the last two postseasons. They're averaging 5.5 runs per game, nearly 6 runs per game at home. If I get 5 at a Philly tonight, which is, I think, absolutely possible, considering Zach Gallen has been worse on the road this year, Philly knows how to stack him, and if they push him out of the game, right, all of a sudden it could be, you know, the doors could get blown off. And Wheeler has been a little more hittable at the bank this season, and there's a couple of guys inside that lineup that have had career success against him. And I might only need 2 runs to get there tonight. Maybe this game lands 7, and people who bet 7.5 are, you know, enjoying life, and I ultimately end up kind of, you know, just getting my money handed back to me, but I am going to bet the over in this game here and give these lineups a bit of a chance tonight.
Yeah, FanDuel -168 favorite toward the Phillies, points bet -170. Everybody else in that like 165-ish range across the board here. Betting tickets, 82% coming in on the Philadelphia Phillies. Looks like Houston, 60% of the tickets coming in on Houston today for that game. That line actually opened up at 138 and dropped to a 124. So interesting stuff there. By the way, Monday Night Football, good game tonight overall. I'm going to be in the mix here. I'm going to use that Gronk spike, fire something up. What I've really been having a good time with are, you know, you take the alt numbers and then juice them up. So you're not going to get maybe the 8, the 9, or 10, the 1 parlay, but still get like a 3, 4, or 5. That's the way I'm looking tonight. I really like CeeDee Lamb tonight. I think CeeDee Lamb has a good game at wide receiver. I also like the Chargers tonight. I like the game to go over 50.5 points. That's just the way I'm looking. And also, some things that we always talk about with the Dallas Cowboys. Impressive wins over some really crappy teams. The only game that they really struggled, the Cowboys, was against Brock Purdy, who's a quality quarterback. Man, they went up against some tomato cans to start the season. You're not getting the tomato can tonight at quarterback with Herbert.
No, this is a great test here to figure out if Dallas is a top five team in this league or not. Because if they, with a win tonight, we can have that conversation. But with a loss, they're absolutely removed from it. And we start to whether or not if they're one of the 10 best teams in this league. I think that's fair. So it's a big test for them. I'm leaning the Chargers myself, but Dallas has been very good these past few seasons off of a loss. Very tough to beat twice.
Some people are saying maybe Trey Lance should get a look tonight here, back out in the state of California, maybe power through the Cowboys. The one thing that we can probably agree with, like, the takes are going to be hot on the Cowboys one way or another tomorrow morning. Like, told you, just played a bad game against the Niners. Dak's who we thought he was tremendous. But there is a part of me, and again, because I think the Chargers win, so it'll be funny. Like, Dak throws two interceptions, but throws one in, like, a bad moment. They get beat by the Chargers. It's like, man, all hell's going to break loose in Dallas, only for Jerry Jones to tell us, what's the big deal? Dak's a great quarterback. He's going to take us to a Super Bowl, like, I think. Because, like, he's the end-all, be-all down there. But sometimes his storyboard is a little bit off. Like, when Dak has his worst game, he's like, of course he can take us to the Super Bowl. Why would you think not? Like, man,
yeah.
Love yourself like some Jerry Jones loves his Dak Prescott.
We'll see. There's a DK boost tonight, 100 rushing yards for Pollard and Eckler.
Oh, what's that, 10 bucks?
Yeah, I mean, probably, but it's nevertheless, it's still a nice one. The thing that bothered me is the other day they boosted up the Kenneth Walker anytime touchdown, and I didn't bet it because I had Geno over 1.5.
Yeah.
And I should have bet it because I had Geno over 1.5.
It's true.
Just like, you know,
it's
what?
One way or the,
like,
other. Yeah, something's going to happen. One of them's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And Geno, I mean, they were down there all day. They couldn't score. That was a
Seattle.
That
really
was an interesting game.
On our Friday pick six, I actually had that as my alt total to the over, and I stayed, like, just listening to the game on the way home. Like, what a pick, man! What a pick.
That's what I'm saying with yesterday, Donnie, and I hope this doesn't become, like, you know how this happens sometimes where it's like league trends. Teams can't score inside the 10-yard line anymore.
Yeah, where is the red zone efficiency? Yes.
Like, it's bad. It's bad right now. It's killing totals. Teams are moving the football at will right now, but can't finish it off with touchdowns.
And by the way, Iowa had an outdoor women's basketball game, much more entertaining than what the Iowa Hawkeyes do, win or lose, at Kinnick Stadium. So there's that, Iowa. Ay, ay, ay. We'll be right back to close it down. Moneyline on a Monday, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here on a Monday, an exciting Monday, too. I'd like to play armchair quarterback, look what happened in the NFL, NCAA football, but also look forward to Monday Night Football and a doubleheader in Major League Baseball. There is an odds boost, the Cousin Sal odds boost. Dak Prescott, 200 passing yards, and Tony Pollard to score a touchdown versus the Chargers, plus 170. Both of those, honestly, should happen tonight. So I don't think the Chargers have a great defense, but both will be back in their defensive end. Derwin James will be back at safety. That helps him there. So I do think we get points tonight. I don't think it's a bad boost. I don't know if I'm playing that. I'm just going to play that angle of I need to find an alt parlay for tonight. I haven't decided on what I want, but I know CeeDee Lamb's going to be in there, and maybe both quarterbacks with some way, shape, or form. Any looks tonight from you on GTD for the big games?
Yeah, no, we'll be breaking it down. I am excited because we've got opposing viewpoints with Joe Maddon and Taylor Mathis. Maddon is a Charger fan. Mathis is a Cowboys fan. So we'll see if there's some disagreements in the room. For me personally, though, I am leaning towards the Chargers in this game here. I just don't know if I believe in Dallas, but I'm wondering if maybe the look is Chargers first half. Herbert's been really good in the first half in his career. Very, very bad in the second half in his career. So maybe an early Charger lead in that game, Donnie, and then I don't have to trust Brandon Staley to pull it out.
And how about the matchup between Dan Quinn and also Kellen Moore? These guys know each other. They know their offense. They know their defense. It'll be fun because you know some of those calls where Dan Quinn's going to be like, ooh, I've seen this formation before, radio it down. And you know that Kellen Moore's going to be like, oh, this defense all the time, practice. I know exactly how to get at this thing. Let's see if we can do it. So there is a lot of fun to be had.
Bigger with those advantage
things
in that?
Going back and forth.
Probably Kellen Moore, right? Because the same personnel that he's getting eyes on.
Yeah, probably. But the formations, like Dan Quinn's going to know them. Because, again, it wasn't as if Kellen Moore was like, yeah, well, that was my Dallas offense. This is my No, you brought your offense from Dallas to the Chargers. Terminology is going to be the same. I'm pretty sure a lot of those audibles as well. So it'll be fun to let it play out tonight. But, again, big night in sports. And then you flip the page and get on to what? Week 8 in college football? Week 8 in college football. Think about that. For JP behind the wheels of Steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, this has been Moneyline on a Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.